Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening. Family and friends, have you ever wondered, is there any proof that one really knows God? Does the Bible teach there is any way we can know the answer to that question? Yes and yes. And that's what we're going to be speaking about over the course of the next few weeks. You see, there are, in God's holy word, seven tests that give proof that one really does know God. Be finding in your Bibles there at home, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and follow along as I read. And the word of our Lord says unto us, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Our text here gives us test number one, keeping God's commandments. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this Saturday evening when we can gather together with our family and friends to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we just pray for each and every soul who's tuned in tonight that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. We pray, Father, for your amazing grace to touch each one of our hearts, each one of our souls, Lord, and to perfect in us that which is most needed today, faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask your will to be done in this message tonight. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Now, the aim of our message tonight is to prove that you know God by keeping his commandments. And I'm not talking here about a work salvation, but we are talking about working after your salvation. The context here in 1 John 2 is that you are in perfect fellowship with God with your sins forgiven. You see, in verse 3, the verse says, and hereby do we know. That is, we are in perfect fellowship with God with our sins forgiven. It doesn't say we aren't a child of God here. Nowhere in this verse does it say that we aren't a child of God. It says we know him if we keep his commandment. And in verse 12 says that we are a child of God in the same text. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And so I want to put forth that John is talking to Christians. He's talking about Christians. And so the context of this passage is that we are in perfect fellowship. And then we see in verse 4, though, we see the professing man, the man who says that he knows God, that he is in perfect fellowship with God, but he doesn't keep God's commandments. In verse 5, we see a picture of the obedient man who keeps God's word. And in verse 6, we see the responsible man who lives up to his profession. Now, just as you would go to your doctor for a checkup, so must the believer go to the Lord, and the believer must get a spiritual checkup. Why? Well, friend, if you fail to take good care of your spiritual life, you're going to become sick. And at the end of your spiritual checkup, your doctor will give you some instructions to keep you healthy. It's up to you whether or not you're going to follow those instructions. What kind of instructions does the great physician give you in order to keep you spiritually well? Well, in this section, Jesus Christ tells us what to do. But the question remains, will you do what the great physician says and follow orders just as you follow your family doctor's orders? How do we know that we are living in fellowship with God? After all, we live in a day when many people are often not interested in knowing God. They could care less about God. They want to live like they want, get all the possessions they can, and enjoy as much of the world as they can. To know God is the furthest thing from their minds. But this is very dangerous ground. For if God really exists, then the rejecters of God are going to miss out. They're going to miss out on the purpose and the meaning and the significance of life. They're going to miss out on real love, real joy, real peace, and the abundance of a rich and full life both now and for all eternity. If God really exists and they fail to know Him, they're going to miss out on all that life really is. Because God created life, and He knows what life should really be. Therefore, if we do not know God, we're going to miss out on all that God meant life to be. But that is not all the rejecters of God will face. If God exists, then it means that all those that reject God must face His holiness and must face His justice. They must stand before Him and face God's judgment. And the point is clear, we must know God. Unbelievers must know God, they must accept God, and Christians must know God, and they must fellowship with God. But how can we know if we're really fellowshipping with God? Well, there are seven tests that I mentioned at the beginning. And the first test is the discussion of the passage. Do we keep God's commandments? Note what the Bible says. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Man faces an enormous problem, friend. A problem that any thinking and honest person can see. If God really exists, no man can know God by his own reasoning, his own energy, or his own effort. No matter how much thought, no matter how much creative thinking, or how much inner feelings a man may have, man can never know for sure that God exists in and of himself. There is a clear reason for this. Man lives in a physical and a material world, and a physical and a material world cannot penetrate or cross over into a spiritual world. Therefore, if man is ever to know God, then God had to cross over the physical world and into the physical world and reveal himself to man. And this is what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever crossed over from the spiritual world to the physical world and has gone back to the spiritual world, thereby showing us that God does exist. And therefore, if any man wants to know God, he can only come to know God through God's Son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way to know God. How do we know that we know God? If we know Jesus Christ, then we know God. Note exactly what the verse says. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. This verse explicitly says that after we get saved and we say we know God, we can prove it if we keep His commandments. Now, when we say we know God, and I'll remind you again, we're talking about, are we in fellowship with God? What are God's commandments? God's chief commandment is this, that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and then we love one another. These are two things here. There are two things that are said here. First of all, to know God, we must believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. We can only do that through repentance and faith. Secondly, to know God, we must love one another. Love covers all the commandments of God. If we love one another, we will not hurt one another, will not cause pain for one another. We will be keeping all the commandments of God, and this is exactly what the Scripture says. How do we know if we know God? Well, let's take a test. Let me ask you tonight, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord through repentance and faith? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you love one another? Unless we are doing those two things, we are not in fellowship with God. No matter what a person may say, he is not fellowshipping with God if he has not given his saved life to Jesus Christ. And he's not keeping the commandments to love Jesus Christ and to love one another. No matter what a person may say, he does not know God if he has never given his life to Jesus Christ. And he's not fellowshipping with God if he backbites, steals from his brother, lies, commits adultery, or does anything else against his brother. If a person is really in fellowship with God, and he wants to please God, and he wants to know God, he wants to know more about God. And the only way he can know more about God is to follow God. In other words, he has to do the things that God does, to walk in love as God does. Now the fact is, Christian people can commit the sins I mentioned a moment ago against one another. We all know that to be true. The Bible teaches that some Christians can be fleshly, carnal Christians. The Bible teaches that we as Christians, though, must recognize that, that we give way to our flesh at times, but we're to recognize that and we're to confess that sin, knowing that God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, as well as I do, people like to make excuses. They like to claim, well, you know, nobody's perfect. And that's true. Nobody is perfect, especially when we walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. But the Bible teaches that all saved sinners are called to be saints. That is, they are to be sanctified. They are to be set apart for God. And because they are set apart for God, they can be called saints. Now let's make application. Some people seek to know God. They seek after God, but they do it the wrong way. For example, some speculate about God, and this is the route most people take in trying to know God. They imagine what God is like and hold that image in their mind and try to live according to what they imagine. They have their own teachings about God, what God is like, and they govern their lives by that image. Secondly, some seek to know God by mystical or emotional experiences. They seek to know the spiritual world and its focus through spirits, astrology, seances, and magic, and a whole lot of other man-made mystical experiences. Well, let's ask, would you know God better if you were more obedient to these two commandments? Believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another? What say you? Now let's look at the professing man here in verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now he says that he knows God, but he does not keep his commandments. Well, from an unsaved standpoint, a man who says he knows God and does not keep his commandments, that man's making a false profession. But at the same time, remember, John is writing to Christians. And so what we have is a Christian who is out of fellowship with God. He is telling a lie, and the truth, the Bible says, is not in him. It is absolutely impossible to fellowship with God and not to keep his commandments. Why? For one very clear reason. If God really exists, then he created us, and we came from God, and he created us for a specific purpose and a specific reason. Therefore, he is bound to tell us why he created us and what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. He would defeat his purpose, friend, if he did not. Therefore, God would never leave us groping and grasping and trying to find out the truth. He would be a God of hate if he were to do such a thing, and God is the farthest thing from hate. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and Jesus Christ has shown us that God is a God of love, and he has given us the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, to tell us what to do. But more than this, God has shown us his love by giving his Son to live it out before our eyes. Jesus Christ lived out the will of God. The point is this, if a person says he knows God and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar. We should want to fellowship with God just like Jesus did. Now note something, this person, John says, is making a false profession. He has knowledge of what he thinks and who he thinks God's Son is. That is, he thinks he can be a Christian and go on and live a sinful lifestyle, telling folks he's walking with Jesus, but he has no idea of what God expects of him. If he says he knows Jesus Christ, you are going to know that he knows Jesus Christ by the way he treats others and by the way he treats Jesus Christ. There are a lot of counterfeit, non-genuine people who do not know God. And we can tell they do not know God because they do not keep the commandments of God. The man is a liar, the Word of God says, and the truth is not in him. Whether he is saved or lost, he is making a false profession. He can be a Christian walking in darkness with sins unconfessed and unforgiven. And when he states he is in fellowship with God, he's lying. Well, let's ask this question. Is it possible to know God and not keep his commandments? Is it possible that many people who say they know God and are not keeping his commandments are lost? What areas of your life need attention? What conclusions would you draw if someone claimed to know God but did not obey God's commands? And could they justifiably draw the same conclusions about you? What are some of the things that keep men from obeying God? And then we see a third picture here, and that is the obedient man there in verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Well, the obedient man, he keeps God's word, he knows God, and he loves God. Note how obedience is tied to knowing and loving God. The only way to know anyone is to get near them, to study them, and to learn them, learn about their will, learn all about their desires and their want, their nature, their thought, their behavior. And the same is true of God. The only way that we can get near to God is to study God and learn all we can about Him, His will, His desires, and His wants. And that's what we read the Gospels for, because Jesus came to teach us all about God. Therefore, when we look at the life of Jesus, we can learn about God's nature, God's thoughts, God's behavior. But how can we do this when God is in the spiritual world, and a world far removed from this world? The only answer, again, is through Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ came to reveal God and to show us all about God. Therefore, to know God, we must draw near to Jesus Christ, and we must follow the example that Jesus Christ left unto us. We must follow the Word of God. Christ, written right here in the Holy Scriptures. We must strive to keep the Word of God, living it out exactly as Christ lived. This is the person who knows and fellowships with God, and I want you to know the most wonderful result. A person who keeps God's Word and has the love of God perfected in his life. It comes as the result of when we draw near to God and we begin to keep His Word. We begin to establish a relationship with God. Now let's think about this for just a moment. It's just like a boy who meets a girl and begins to draw near to her. He begins to know her. He begins to develop an affection for her. He begins to learn about her, to study her. And the more he associates with her, the more he loves her, and so it is with God. The more we draw near to him, the more we learn about him, and the more we love him. You see, the word keep means a continuous action. It means to keep on and not to stop. If you stop, you're going to break fellowship with him. If we keep God's word day by day, we learn to love God more and more, and His love becomes perfected in us. The obedient person is the person who knows God, the person who loves God. He is the person who knows the love of God and all the fullness of life that God's love brings. You know, no matter what a person may profess, no matter how religious a person may be, If he does not obey God, he is not in fellowship with God. Either that or he is unsaved. The believer must know God, and he must do what God says to do. Dr. W.D. Robertson was once approached by a lady who objected to any kind of ritual in the church service. She said, "Dr. Robertson, I hear that you are introducing some dreadful innovations into your church service." He replied, "Indeed, what innovations have we introduced?" She said, "Oh, I hear you read the commandments in your service." "Is that all you hear?" Dr. Robertson replied. "We have introduced a far greater innovation than that. We try to keep the commandments." Are you a keeper of the commandments, or are you just a knower? There's a fourth picture here, and that fourth picture is the picture of the responsible man. Verse 6, "He that abideth, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." The responsible man lives up to his confession. Now the word walk means a continuous action. It means to keep on walking. If a person says he abides in Christ, then he must be a responsible person. He ought to walk as Jesus walked. In fact, the word ought means debt, constraint, obligation. A person who professes Jesus Christ and claims he knows God and is in fellowship with God is obligated to walk as Jesus Christ walked. You see, he is in debt to try to walk as Christ walked. Have you ever stopped to think about how did Christ walk upon this earth? He walked believing and trusting God. He walked worshiping and praying to God. He walked fellowshipping and in communion with God. He walked giving and sacrificing all he had to God. He walked seeking and following after God. He walked teaching and telling others about God. He walked loving and caring for others just as God said to do. When Jesus walked on this earth, he walked obeying and keeping all of the commandments of God. Now, we're sinners. So without a doubt, to walk in fellowship with God, being in this old body of flesh, this old nature, it's going to be a battle. But the responsible man, the man who lives out what he professes, he just lives it out. He tries to walk every day as Christ walked upon this earth. You see, that man, he's walking, stepping, following in the footsteps of Jesus. In today's world, people are crying out for commitment to convictions. Unbelievers are growing weary of Christians who are failing to live up to what they are preaching. But take hope, friend. Take hope. There are still some believers who practice what they preach. You know, the president of a large organization was known from shore to shore, and even in foreign lands. In the world's eyes, he had it all. He had fame. He had fortune. He had a guaranteed job for life. Most men would have agreed except for the man himself. His wife, for many years, became so ill that she required constant attention. Advice came freely to this man. "Put your wife in a nursing home, or hire a live-in nurse and keep your position. Put your ministry first." But this man refused. Being financially able, he made the decision to resign and take care of his wife himself. And after he resigned, he was asked, "Why did you give up such a wonderful opportunity?" "Wonderful opportunity," he said, "you do not understand. God has sent me a wonderful opportunity. He sent it my way, and I count it as a privilege that I'm the best person on the face of this earth to take care and to minister to my wife. She needs me, and I need her. Other men can take over this organization, but only I can take care of her." There is a man who lived up to his profession. His act of responsibility did more in one day to convict others to act responsibly than what a shelf full of how-to books could have done. The Bible teaches Jesus went about doing good. And if we're to prove that we know him, then we must obey his commandments. We must go about doing good. And we do that by loving God and by loving one another. Note again, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And Father, we just thank you for your word unto us tonight. And oh Lord, may we be encouraged to know you, to give proof of our knowledge of you and of our faith in you, because we keep your commandments. Oh Lord, let it never be said of us that we said we know you, but we did not keep your commandments. But oh Lord, let the very love of Christ be perfected in us because we keep your commandments. Lord, tonight we pray for the lost man or woman who is tuning in. And, oh, Lord, how we pray tonight that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Father, we pray for the Christian who has been living a worldly, carnal life, that this message would come to their heart and their soul and cause them to repent and to turn around and become a commandment doer, not just a commandment hearer. Oh Lord, we ask your grace and your mercy to watch over us, to comfort us, and may, oh Lord, you give us another time when we can come together on Digging Deeper to preach the precious Word of God. In his name we pray, amen. Father, we just thank you for this.